players in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart, we got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, them trap doors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know. You ever been hit with the water weight, then had to wait, do you walk away? If you know, you know. When we all clicking like Golden State, and you and your team are the motorcade. If you know, you know. Been granting wishes like a genie to bad hoes in two-piece bikinis. I've been hiding where you can see me. The skybox is right next to Riri's. Solely responsible for showing rappers how to stand on the front lines when trappers started throwing bands. Where were you when Big Meech brought the Tigers in? Cause I was busy earning stripes like a tiger skin. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know.
Good morning. You are listening to Listen Local. My name is Julian Mark, and I'm here with my boss.
technically not your boss.
I mean, you have a title that's you know, that's higher than me. I report to you. I sometimes listen to what you say.
Yeah. The strategy here is that if I say a lot of stuff and you listen to 40% of it, you're gonna do what I need.
Indeed. And by the way, his name is Joe Eskenazi, and I'm talking to him today about Prop C. But first, how is your ride over here?
I've got two seats on the bicycle now. It weighs a ton, so it's really, you know.
Are those seats always filled, or?
For the first portion of the ride. Uh-huh. You know, it's always better when you know if they're filled or not. I've found that, like, you know, unless there's a kid in that seat, it's best not to put stuff into it, because, like, when I try and lift the bike up the stairs or something like that, it's a physically challenging experience.
That sounds like it.
So it was as fast as I could go is the most opportune way to say it.
And you come down Mission Street?
I stay off Mission as much as possible.
Oh, really?
Valencia, then turn on 17th.
Oh, okay. How is Valencia this early in the morning? I mean, what's the general mood?
You know, I'm all for bike improvements and I'm all for bike infrastructure, but... I've always felt Valencia was the most accommodating bike street in the city.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know people want to make it better, but I've always thought maybe like work on some of the really dangerous streets. So I thought it was just fine, you know,
okay.
But then cool. I always had good experiences on Barcadero too. And the statistics show that it's quite dangerous. So maybe I was just lucky.
Hmm. Well, today we are going to talk about sort of a, you know, a big, a huge story, I think probably, you know, the story of the last, you know, couple weeks. And that is Mayor Breed's rejection or, you know, not supporting a Proposition C, a ballot measure that would infuse almost double, is that right, the budget for homeless services in the city.
It would double the budget for homeless services. It could, you know, it's a variable thing because mm-hmm. it taxes the wealthiest right. of the wealthy corporations in San Francisco. What the tax would do, and it's very complicated, and you know, frankly, in spite of some of the charges of its naysayers, it's actually pretty organized and pretty laid out. And, you know, we can come up with arguments against it, but, oh, we don't know where the money's going, and it's a complete pot, and it's a complete mystery, is not true.
Mm-hmm.
What it would do is it would get between $250 and $300 million from the wealthiest companies in San Francisco. It would do so by taking a percentage of money after their first $50 million gross. Mm-hmm. So when on your $50 million and first dollar, then it would start to kick in. It would take a percentage, and it's variant with variable with different companies. Some it's more, some it's less. But with most companies, it would come out that your second $50 million gross, you would pay $250,000 into the kitty here.
All right.
And they expect to raise between $250 and $300 million that way. And that would just about double the homeless budget. But to put things in context, it would go from 3% of the general fund to 6%.
Okay.
So, that's 6% of the general fund to 6% of a very big number. But this is the biggest and most visible and the defining issue of San Francisco right now is homelessness and misery.
Right.
And 6% of the general fund doesn't sound like a lot.
And how, what is the general fund? What is the total there?
Billions and billions. Overall budget of San Francisco is $11 billion now, and the general fund is the majority of that.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so, $300 some odd million dollars at its most, what would this go towards? I mean, what was actually...
They actually break it down. It's 50% towards housing. It's a certain percentage towards mental health. It's a certain percentage towards, keeping people in the housing they've got. These percentages are things that people in the homeless community I've talked to have debated and have said, I wish it was more for X or Y or Z. But, you know, a lot of this was done in consultation with the Department of Homelessness itself from the private formulators of this measure, which is largely the Coalition on Homelessness.
Right.
And I think that's what... I think it's the Coalition of Homelessness's lead role that put off a lot of the city establishment.
Hmm.
I think... Rather than looking at the end product and saying, is this good or is this not, people's calculation was, do I want to empower these people?
Yeah, right.
Do I want to reward these people?
Right, right.
And the end result was no.
Hmm. Now, no, but let's back up. I mean, why, just hundreds of million dollars for, to take care of a major, major issue in, arguably San Francisco's main issue. Who could be opposed to this, and why would they be opposed to it?
The Chamber of Commerce is opposed to mm-hmm. it. Various individual tech barons and capitalists, and company owners are opposed to it.
Right.
With Mark Benioff coming out for it, that right. is going to fracture any kind of effort to coalesce.
Right.
Business people and tech people writ large.
But before we get to Benioff, I mean, mm-hmm. isn't homelessness?
No one could look at this and say, with all due respect, people who say we just need to do better with what we've got are either delusional or foolish
right.
or liars. We could always do better,
right.
but it's a myth that we're wasting money and we don't know where it goes and people are mm-hmm. showing up for work in their pajamas and not doing the work. There are occasionally underperforming nonprofits, but they get called out now. We have a centralized oversight from the Department of Homelessness, and mm-hmm. the controller does audits. And, as recently as 2017, there was a very damning audit of a homeless service provider. Now, granted, that homeless service provider is only using $1.5 million of city money, but, mm-hmm. That's more than nothing.
Right.
So, I would say that the system we've got is not nearly as bad as people think. There are a lot of problems with it, but I think the number one problem is that it's stretched past capacity.
Right. Now, okay, so we have opponents from big from big business in the city, mainly them.
The chamber is mostly
the chamber. And so, but was it a surprise, you know, when Breed, Scott Wiener and David Chu came out for this, and why would they
came out against it?
Or sorry, excuse me.
It was not a surprise, but it was disappointing the way it was done. Mm-hmm. First of all, the fact that they all joined hands and leapt at the same time on Friday. I'm going to be very blunt. That to me spells weakness. Mm-hmm. The fact that it had to be a joint move and had to be done on Friday, it was a weak move. You know, do it on Thursday. Take your lumps. You know, they did right. they did it on a Friday,
right.
The Friday that was absolutely consumed with Kavanaugh hearings and other things like right. that. You know, it was far from the worst thing that would happen in this country. You know, so it was not a strong play. And then for less than one business day later, as you know, again, as we alluded to, Mark Benioff to come in and say, well, I'm all for it, and I'm the one who'll pay the most money, and I'll put $2.5 million behind it.
Right.
That made it look even weaker because they were caught flat-footed. I've called around, and I believe that the mayor's office didn't foresee that, and they sure should have. Right. You know, Mark Benioff is someone who could be contacted directly by many people in that office. He could be talked to. You know, this was a disorganized move, I think.
Now, okay, so you know, Mark Benioff. You know, this is huge news, obviously, but What do you think this man's motivations are? Do you think he is kind of this, you know, really, you know, this is coming from the heart, or is, you know, why is he, you know, throwing his hat in?
I think Mark Benioff is a decent human being. I think he's also billionaire class, and I think that you can, right. you know, that there's only so much you can get out of both, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone who thinks Mark Benioff is making the opening foray for running for mayor, I strongly don't believe that. I think, you know, the line that I've heard from City Hall is he's too smart for that. But Mark Benioff, I think he relishes the fact that he's the man.
Yeah.
You know, what he did is going to have more of an effect than what the mayor did, and that's lost on nobody.
Right, exactly. And you say that, you know, Breed's rejection of Prop C was a crushing and credibility-destroying decision. Those are strong words. Why?
If London Breed had argued against Prop C with fantastic arguments, mm-hmm. that would be one thing. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I did not have any problem with London Breed or Scott Wiener or David Chu not endorsing the measure. It's not my measure. I'm a journalist. You know, I do live here. I do have opinions. But the arguments were not good. The arguments were, in fact, so easily proved false. And they said things. They relied upon statements that they attributed to the economic impact report of Prop C undertaken by Ted Egan, the economist right. out of the controller's
mm-hmm.
office.
Mm-hmm.
And his report is 23 pages long, but it's a PowerPoint, and you can read it, and it doesn't say what they said it said.
Okay, so
very simply.
What were Breed's argument? What were
they said that it will most definitely harm the business environment in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at his report, he said that the effect would be small, and he may even have had a qualifier such as very small, because it was the equivalent of 0.1% over the course of 20 years.
And what does that equal?
Just one tenth of one.
Yeah,
0.1%. Things get complicated because it's not a cumulative thing. He said every year, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 to 800 jobs, but it doesn't add up that there's 800 jobs in year one and 1,600 jobs in year two. It's just that you've got this kind of ongoing pool of jobs that aren't being created because people aren't spending the money because it's being taxed, right?
Right.
That said, you know, this, if you look at it with a point, 0.1%, if we don't pass Prop C, and the city would have fostered the creation of 1,000 jobs.
Yeah.
With Prop C, it would foster the creation of 999 jobs.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of jobs in the city.
Right.
In fact, you know, I mean, like anecdotally, you can walk up and down Mission Street here, and there are many, many jobs for, you know, blue-collar positions, servers, cooks, things like that. And those aren't getting filled because people can't afford to take those jobs and pay rent here.
Right.
So, like, that's separate and apart from Prop C. So, I mean, San Francisco does not have a jobs problem. You know, San Francisco does not have a jobs problem. And that's something that London Breed, I believe, less than sincerely alluded to in her rejection letter, where she said that that Ted Egan couldn't even quantify the number of companies that would flee here and take the jobs with them. It's like, well, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the report.
No,
you know, it's just not there. He didn't quantify how many people would get the bubonic plague from Prop C either. That's not in the report either. You know, so that was disingenuous.
Right. But she, you know, she sort of had, so you say that, you know, this was a big political fumble on her part. And, you know, I mean, what, why would it have been smart for her just to say, you know, I'm behind this?
I think, as I mentioned before, there was consternation about empowering people who were perceived as hostile to city moderates.
Right.
People who do not act as team players, people who do not handle power well, let's say, you know, from the homeless coalition, et cetera, right?
Right.
Those are all legitimate complaints, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's kind of at this point, considering the level of problems that we've got with homeless misery in San Francisco, it's like complaining about the manufacturer's origin of your lifeboat. You know, oh, couldn't we have gotten a lifeboat that was made in the United States? You know, like that kind of thing. It's like, this is a lifeboat, right?
Right.
At this point, strategically, London Breed could have, instead of repelling these people with the most hackneyed arguments that were nullified immediately by Mark Benioff coming out and saying, well, I'm for it, and I would have been the biggest taxpayer, and I will be the biggest taxpayer if it passes. Instead of this very predictable course, embrace it, and in doing so, confound and neutralize your leftmost critics, and render all of their critiques of anything else you do that might be seen as quote-unquote pro-business completely null and void.
Right.
London Breed's pro-business. She supported Prop C. She supported it wholeheartedly. She helped pass Prop C.
Right.
You know, and there are many examples of this. Gavin Newsom embraced same-sex marriage and absolutely destroyed the city's left for a political generation.
And now he's...
And now it's... People remember that gay marriage move, which frankly, you know, he... it was... I mean, it meant a lot to the people who were married, but it was, I can't say symbolic, but it was not binding. But people remember that a lot more than the very binding punitive measures that he had on aggressive panhandling and care not cash, which were very tangible and affected people's lives. So that's a big deal. I mean, Scott Wiener, who signed on with London Breed and has been her ardent defender in the last few days, Scott Wiener voted for Clean Power SF, voted for public power, you know?
Right.
And so certainly he confounded people who would say Scott Wiener's a tool of PG&E or a tool of big money. It's like, no, he voted for public power. That was a wise political move. People probably liked it in District 8, but he did it.
Right.
You know, he could have just listened to his corporate backers, but no, he did what people may in the future say is the right thing to do.
But now he's against this, you know, but now he showed his opposition to this, you know, this measure here. And I mean, I guess why? I mean, why?
His arguments were more technocratic than London Breed's, but you would expect that. Legislators do not lead emotionally. A mayor leads emotionally. A mayor can take a city places.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All of her arguments don't work. Some of them work better than others. Mm-hmm. One of the arguments is we don't know where the money is going and we need to have an audit and this brings in a lot more money and it doesn't call for an audit. Well, then you call for an audit.
Right.
You know, any supervisor can call for an audit. Calling for an audit is something that can take an hour, you know, and it gets done. Mm-hmm. We have very good auditors. That's a bogus argument.
Mm.
And audits are getting done. We know where the money is going. Right. There's no black hole here. The money's going to housing. Right. Housing costs.
Right.
You know, especially when you deal with people on the internet, well, we've got X number of homeless people and we spend X number of dollars. That's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a homeless person. It's like, at some point, you know, you're not being smart. Putting people in housing is an ongoing thing. They don't vanish to another dimension. They stay here.
Right.
They stay here in housing. Mm. Now, granted, we can have other arguments about how people who are housed still can engage in problematic behaviors, but that's another argument. Right. And that gets into the next line in which Mayor Breed said that Gavin Newsom, who came out, you know, and told everyone, you know, that spending more money on homeless problems is just going to make everything worse.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah, exactly.
And that San Francisco has become too permissive, you know, which is disappointing, but also not surprising. And she said Gavin Newsom is right. But the fact of the matter is, right in the controller's EIR, which was used to buttress some of her arguments by misstating it, he very clearly states there is no evidence that improving your homeless services is going to bring a cavalcade of homeless people rushing here. And what's more, nobody's coming here to get housing because it takes years of hard living to get housing and you have to document it. People are coming here And we do have a bigger inflow situation than any other county in the Bay Area by a factor of two for the services or for the leniency because you can get the drugs, you can use the drugs, or because it's San Francisco.
Right.
You know,
right.
there are more people who are saying, I'm going to San Francisco than there are saying, like, I'm going to Gilroy. You know, like, I'm, you know, I can't wait to, like, just, like, I've wanted to go to Novato for so long.
Right.
You know, like, this is just, that's just not how things work.
Right.
So, you know, and frankly, you know, I mean, it's very callous for Gavin Newsom, a man in his position to say in these things about the homeless people. It really rankles, frankly, you know.
Right, right, right.
And to talk about the permissiveness of San Francisco. If you're tired of shit on the streets, get some bathrooms. Right. You know, it's as simple as that.
Well, now does this you know, has he actually formally opposed this?
I'm sure he has.
Okay, but this doesn't apparently.
But I mean, Propsy is endorsed by people who are not, you know, left wing, you know,
who? By
street thumping lunatics. It's endorsed by Jackie Speer. It's endorsed by Nancy Pelosi.
Wow.
You know, it's endorsed by Angela Alioto. It's endorsed by John Burton. It's endorsed by Spur. You know, I mean, like, these are not left-wing organizations or left-wing people by San Francisco standards. You know, these are establishment Democrats.
Right, right.
You know, Nancy Pelosi is not a firebrand, you know, at least in San Francisco's context.
No, definitely
And certainly,
not.
You know, not in social issues. So, you know, there's cover here.
Right, there's cover. And it seems like almost a no-brainer in a lot of ways.
I don't know that it's a no-brainer. And I do know that my calls around, I do believe that the mayor thought hard about this. Oh, but okay. The final decision is the final decision.
Right, right, indeed. And, you know, I mean, does this sort of hurt, you know, Scott Wiener, David Chu, as much as it hurts, you know, London Breed?
No, because you have less at stake.
Right.
You know, I expect technocratic arguments from a legislator.
Mm-hmm.
Their arguments, you know, I did not get into in the column I wrote, but I don't believe that they were particularly valid either.
Right, right.
Whereas London Breed's arguments were, frankly, I'll be frank with you and the audience, it was the falseness and ridiculous ease in which one could prove the falseness of the arguments that was the problem here, even more so than the position taken.
Right, right.
You can't simply say something is X when it's really not, when it's really Y.
Yeah.
The controller's report said what it said.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
It did not say that this was going to be bad for the economy.
Yeah.
It said it was going to be negligible.
Right.
And what's more, frankly, it's a bit perverted that we, you know, are presented with an opportunity to make huge strides in addressing what everyone says is our number one social issue, but is it good for business? We're looking at it through the scope of, like, can we make it cost neutral?
Right.
You know, that's a bit callous. That's a right. bit perverse. That's yeah. a bit disgusting.
No,
you know,
agree.
So, you know, we could solve all these problems, but is it going to be okay for business? You know, San Francisco's economy is booming right now, but who is benefiting from that? And frankly, you know, Mark Benioff, like I said, is a decent human being, but he's also very smart, and he knows that even if Prop C passes, and even if he's paying the $10 million, which Walter Thompson, formerly of Hoodline, cleverly noted that they spent more than that on lanyards for Salesforce, Dreamforce. He will be paying, and Salesforce will be paying, less in taxes in the future, even with Prop C, than they are now because of the Trump tax cuts.
Hmm.
So, and that's also noted in Ted Egan's The Controller's Report. That is noted, that, you know, that it's hard to think of a Trump tax cut not being greater than what Prop C would
right,
be.
Right,
so
right.
they're going to still come out ahead.
Well, sort of in other news, you know, you had an event yesterday afternoon. You moderated the District 6 debate.
It was a forum.
They made
it very clear it wasn't a debate.
Oh, okay. All
it
right.
was at St. Anthony's. It all was right. in the dining room.
And, okay. Just describe the dining room at St. Anthony's.
2,400 meals a day are served there. It was very, very clean. You know, they cleaned out the like, obviously, they take the chairs and the uh-huh. tables away, uh-huh. and it just looked like a conference room.
Right. And who was there? Who was there in attendance?
In the audience?
In the audience, yeah.
I mean, there were mostly District 6 residents.
Okay.
There were a group of young men that got up in mass and left before it was over, and I found out later that they had to get curfew at the home that they all lived in, which some manner of, if not a halfway home, some manner of treatment facility.
I see.
There were several men in wheelchairs, you know, one doesn't want to make assumptions, but, right. you know, from the neighborhood, let's say, Matt Haney's mother was there.
Matt Haney's mother was there. That's great. And how many of them would you say?
All of, Yeah, more than 100, I'd say.
More than 100. Well, that's
cool. It was a good group. Yeah. It was a good group, and all three candidates were there. Matt Haney, Sonia Trauss, and Christine Johnson were all there.
Okay, and so, you know, how did it go? I mean,
I think that they're all smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're all smart. You know, they were able to think on their feet, and they had a fluency with city policy that I think was better than many candidates mm-hmm. I've seen in debates such as this, mm-hmm. and frankly, better than many elected officials. Mm. So these are all smart candidates. Mm. Their answers weren't always on point, but you know, there were no moments in which anybody embarrassed him or herself. There were some questions from the crowd that were, you know, out there, they handled those pretty well too.
What did the crowd care most about? And you know, and who, I guess, you know,
the rent. What are you gonna do about rent?
What are you gonna do about rent?
You know, mm. and you know, what are you gonna do about, you know, livability situations?
Right.
But mostly with regard to, you know, being able to stay in the city.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember how each candidate answered in this regard?
Matt Haney said that he would be laser focused on affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And whereas several times, and I don't want to take cheap shots, but Sonia Trauss directs the arguments to her raison d'etre, which is to build more housing everywhere at all affordability levels.
Right.
Which, you know, separate and apart from the validity of that argument, may not be what a St. Anthony's dining room audience wants to hear about building housing in the Richmond district or the Sunset, etc.
Right.
But, you know, this is her argument.
Uh-huh. And remind us who Sonia Trauss is.
She's the founder of the SMI Backyard Movement, and pro-housing activist. And Christine Johnson is kind of a blend of the two of them.
Mm.
She's definitely, I would say she's definitely a YIMBY, but she also is not... not as fervent, let us say.
Oh, okay. And so what was her answer to this question of rents, if you can remember?
I actually have it on tape, and if I was to write about it, I would go back to that. But uh-huh. Christine Johnson is a former planning commissioner, and is of the three of them, I think, is the most policy savvy, and had, you know, a sophisticated answer, but does want to build more housing. And how could you not?
Interesting.
You know, on the other mm-hmm. hand, you know, it's District 6. District 6 builds
a lot of housing.
The majority of the housing in San Francisco.
Right.
The majority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was an interesting debate. You know, for me as the moderator, I kind of had a very, I let them talk, and mm-hmm. I let them fight.
Right. Interesting. You know?
Yeah, I let them, I did not keep them on track as you would have if there were, you know, if you were, had, you know, harsher time constrictions and things like that.
Was there anything, you know, in your mind, or, you know, that sticks out in your mind that was particularly contentious, you know, among them, and that they kind of differed the most and got the most heated about?
That's where I'd fault myself. Mm-hmm. I should have asked them the question, differentiate yourself from your opponent. Should be as simple as that.
Yeah,
I didn't
do
it. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't mm-hmm. do it. I mm-hmm. just mostly let them talk about what they'd want to do. It's sometimes a question like that is necessary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I deferred a lot to the audience because mostly I was there mm-hmm. to shepherd questions in from the audience.
I see.
So, you know, a question from me of just, you know, tell us what makes you different than your opponent,
uh-huh.
both opponents,
right.
would have been useful. And that's something I should have asked.
Yeah. So, you know, District 6 is obviously, you know, just a very, you know, important.
And it does get into the mission. If you're wondering why we're talking about District 6, there's a sliver.
There's a sliver of it. Yeah, right. In the northmost amount of the mission. So, it's a very important district, and so can you explain what, you know, what is at stake, I guess, for, you know, anybody?
And this is something actually that Sonia Trauss brought up a lot, mm-hmm. is that if you elect me, it will show that, you know, that a sea change, that District 6 means business, electing a pro-housing activist, you know, someone who wants to build. That is undoubtedly true. I don't know that that is what these voters wanted to hear.
Yeah.
You know, they're not looking to show, you know, to make a sea change and show this. They're worried about existential rent issues.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, like, you'd have to be crazy to say we don't need to build more. And Sonia is right. But, you know, this is something that isn't going to help them probably in their lifetimes.
Right.
Looking, you know, with their faces in front of me in my memory. These are not young people.
Yeah.
And so that's... that's that, you know. Right. I mean, that was an interesting thing.
No, that sounds very interesting. Well, you know, that is actually just about all the time we have today. And Joe, you know, I really thank you for joining us and for hightailing it over here all the way down Valencia Street. We have a lot of work to do at Mission Local, so
you've written something and I'm supposed to edit it.
Yes, I've written something. We're supposed to edit it and put it up today. So look forward to a great article.